All right, I'd like to call the March meeting of the Montville Inland Wetlands Commission to order. We have Commissioners Brush, Vellucci, Rashto, Majewski, and Occhalini present. First order of business is to approve the minutes of the January 15th, 2026 regular meeting. Any comments? We get a motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting, January 15th, 2026.
Second.
Any discussion? Hey, Commissioner Occhalini made a motion. Commissioner Majewski seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. No public hearing, no show cause hearing. Any remarks to the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks to the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks to the public not relating to items on the agenda? All right, old business, Noble Hill Road. Owner Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels. Update on ongoing enforcement action. Cease and correct order for unpermitted activities in the wetland and upland review areas.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. On February 9th, I spoke with Jeff Phillips, who advised that he spoke with his PE and the plans had been completed and were being forwarded to Attorney Bill McCoy for submission to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I spoke with Attorney Bill McCoy and reminded him of the next scheduled Planning and Zoning Commission meetings on February 24th and March 24th, 2026. Attorney McCoy indicated that he would be submitting an application as soon as he received the completed plans. To date, no application or plan has been received by our office. I did receive an email from Attorney McCoy's office on March 18th indicating that they still do not have the site plan from the surveyor. So staff would recommend that this matter be continued to the next regularly scheduled meeting of April 16th.
I mean, it just seems like we're kicking the can down the road here. And if you go down there, you can see an excavator sitting on a big pile of dirt out there, a cat excavator. I don't know if that's his or whoever it is, but is that material getting hauled out of there?
No, that's the material that he did bring in, and it was put there for him to fill in these holes, but he has not done anything with it. He was able to get this material at an inexpensive rate. So he brought it in, asked if he could stockpile it there, which we did give him permission to stockpile it there. It's far enough away from the wetlands. He is anxious to get it spread. However, he will have to cross over the culvert. And we said nothing can happen until you have the plan approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. So that's where he stands right now.
Because, I mean, this has been going on for 6 months now. And for him to say, oh, he's waiting on a surveyor or anything, what happened before it started snowing? What, you know?
Well, I believe that the survey is complete, and that's what I've been told. It is complete. I'm not sure what the delay is from getting it from the surveyor to the attorney to our office and on our agenda.
I think if we don't see anything by next month, we're going to have to refer it to the town attorney for taking a court or something.
Okay.
You need to. This is going to be going on way too long.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to continue it to the next meeting, and if we do not have anything at the next meeting, we pursue the next step, whether that be referral to the town attorney, because it's taking too long.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Commissioner Huckley made a motion. Commissioner Rashto seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, carries unanimously. Okay, 25 out of C 25, 420 Fire Street. Owner applicant Mark DeRozier for rated activities to make repairs to a driveway and wetlands and upland review area. Then withdrawn?
Yes. Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. Yes, there is a copy of a withdrawal in your packet because of the timeline. Unfortunately, we were out of time to make our decision, and because the meeting was canceled on the 19th, on the 19th of February, I did suggest that the applicant withdraw and reapply, which he has done. So this is just to withdraw this application.
Yep. All right. Okay, 25 WC 29, New London Turnpike, owner applicant, City of Norwich. For regular activities in the upland review area in conjunction with installation of sidewalks.
Yes, Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. So final review comments were received by the town soil scientists on January 20th, 2026, indicating that all previous comments had been addressed. And due to the fact that the February 19th, 2026 inland wetland meeting was canceled due to a lack of quorum, the applicant was asked to provide a request for extension of time, which would be voted on by this commission retroactive to the date to render a decision of February 21st, 2026. A request for extension of time was received on February 19th, requesting a 35-day extension of time to March 27th. A copy of that is attached in your packet. On March 4th, the applicant provided a revised plan set, which was forwarded to the town soil scientists for review and comment. The applicant advised that the only change to the plan was relocation of utility poles. The town soil scientists reviewed and the revised plan and had no further comments. So there are two motions in your packet. One is to grant the 35-day extension of time, and the second is a motion to approve the application.
I don't think we've ever had to take a motion to approve an extension of time. They give us a letter to say it's extended, then it's extended.
We don't need to. We did with Fire Street. We did accept it at the meeting before we accepted.
With a motion? I don't remember ever doing that. I'll look into that a little bit. Because I don't remember ever that we had people like fill out the letter at the desk. So can we just get the motion to approve the 35-day extension?
Okay, I'll make a motion to grant a 35-day extension of time retroactively from February 21st, 2026 to March 27th, 2026.
Wait a second.
Second.
Good.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Here's unanimous. I should have said Commissioner Arcini made a motion and Commissioner Vellucci seconded it. And most carried unanimously. Now as far as the other one, this is just a sidewalk. I think it's good to go, so get a motion. Move on.
Good, Ray.
Okay, I'll make the motion after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Moffett Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Regulations in Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 25, IWC 29, New London Turnpike, parcel ID not applicable, Uncas Hill, Connecticut, owner applicant, City of Norwich, Department of Public Works, for regulated activity within the upland review area in conjunction with the installation of sidewalks per the application and associated documents dated December 11th, 2025 and plan entitled New London Turnpike Topographical Survey prepared for the City of Norwich, Connecticut, dated May 6th, 2022 and revised March 4th, 2026. Standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, Mr. Buckley made a motion. Mr. Vellucci seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carries unanimously. Twenty-six Advocacy 2, 339 Chesterfield Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant Jill Moonheron. Modification of application 24 Advocacy 7 for Inland Wetlands Commission permit for regulated activities in the wetlands and URA. Demo an existing single-family residence and construct a new single-family residence.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. On February 17, 2026, additional comments were received from the town soil scientists with reference to the applicant's responses and revised plans received on February 5th. These comments were forwarded to the applicant. And on March 17, 2026, the applicant provided responses and a revised site plan. Copies of that are in your packets. Same was forwarded to the town soil scientist for his review and comment. Bob Russo, certified soil scientist, confirmed he had no further comments. However, he did note that, quote, the applicant has requested that some fill erroneously placed for construction of the driveway remain in the wetland and that the additional fill be placed to widen the driveway crossing. The commission will have to consider the merits of each of the two areas of wetland fill based on the information provided by the applicant. A copy of those comments are in your packet. And the applicant is here, or his engineer, I'm sorry. This is Ryan Thompson.
Hi, Ryan Thompson. I'm the engineer and the land surveyor working with Ms. Moonheron. So this project was originally approved a couple of years ago. The construction is now complete, and during the final walkthrough, it was discovered that during the conduct of the as-built, it was discovered that there was two areas of concern. And a few other ancillary comments that were not really of concern that have been addressed. But the two areas that are really kind of remaining and that the applicant is looking for approval tonight for is here. The driveway was constructed slightly to the east of where it was proposed, which encroached on the wetlands by approximately I have the calculation somewhere, but it was approximately around 100 square feet of encroachment into the wetlands that was not previously approved. The request is that we allow that you allow that to remain as is for the following reasons. One, it does provide a smoother approach for emergency vehicles than if it were to have to shift to the left. Which would allow easier access to the house. Additionally, in the initial soil scientist report, the wetland doesn't serve. It's not an extremely valuable functioning wetland at that location. Plus, there are three total wetland systems on the 50-acre parcel. The other two being much more rich and diverse and ecologically sound. And this encroachment represents approximately 0.002% of the total wetland area on the total property. Not saying that it's, you know, any encroachment I know needs to be addressed, but it is a very small fraction of the total wetlands that's being conserved on this property in general. It doesn't impact the actual waterway. It's only the edge of the plantings, or not plantings, but, you know, vegetation in the soils there. So that's one area that's being asked, that we're asking you to consider. And the other one is there was a previously approved wetland crossing right here that did have some impacts into the wetlands. That was approved during the site walk and subsequent meetings. And during construction, the homeowner asked the contractor to build some stone walls along each side of it. And the reasoning for that was so that she could have a clear delineation where the edge of the road was, a little bit of a safety barrier, and for aesthetics as well. So we're asking to keep those, except for to move one of them over so that we have the 15-foot width for emergency access. Because the way they were constructed, it actually was 13 feet, and they need 15 feet. So in order to keep that, we do have to encroach into the wetland by approximately 2 feet by approximately 20 feet, so 40 square feet, roughly. Those are the two main areas of concern. There was one third that's less of a concern, and there were some stone walls, masonry walls put out by the road that are partially within the upland review area. We've identified those here. Again, not as critical. It's not into the actual wetland itself. It's actually right on the edge of the upland review area, but that should also be considered. I'll kind of open it up to any questions you might have.
So the first one was you realigned the driveway because of what?
The driveway was constructed, quite frankly, it wasn't constructed to plan. It was constructed in the field, I think more laid out visually as opposed to staked out centerline. And as a result, there was encroachment. And I think I misspoke about the area. I said it was about 100 square feet. I think it's actually closer to 200 square feet. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. But that's the reason why that happened. It wasn't intentional. It was a mistake, and we're trying to correct it. I did put on the plan, per the soil scientist's note, that should you not approve it, it'll be removed, realigned, and reseeded with the proper plantings. But we are asking that you consider, based on the access, the emergency vehicle access, the fact that it's an extremely minimal amount of encroachment on a very large property with three separate wetland systems, that you consider approving that.
So you're worried about the turning radius of fire apparatus or something coming down there, right?
Yeah, so the way it is now, a fire apparatus can make the turn in one movement. It because of the way that the crossing ended up being constructed at the angle, if we realign that to line up with the crossing, they would have to do almost like a three-point turn to get up there and then come back up and then turn back around.
So what's going
to
happen at the entrance there? So when
here?
Yes. So when I'm driving the tanker, because that house is on fire, yeah, and I got to make that turn, what's the turning radius right there? Because if that turning radius right there is worse than what you just told us up top there, we've got a problem. That house is going to go up in flames. So you're worried about the turning radius where the wetlands are, because whoever was doing that never put the center line of the driveway all the way in. Usually you stake it out or do an offset coming in with the driveway. Mm-hmm. You got that concern. You're worried about that, but you're not worried about trucks getting in. I mean, the stonework looks great. I drive by it all the time. Mm-hmm. Looks awesome. And I hate to see you guys redo it. But you've got that turning radius right there. And then you're going to neck down to 13 feet right there.
No, we're requesting to be widened out. Well, if you take the walls off, you have the 15 feet.
Right.
So if you...
You could just take the walls out and put up a timber guardrail. Same effect for her.
No, I understand. I understand your comments.
And
again, I think the question is, can a fire apparatus make the corner to get on a driveway in the first place?
What's your turning radius right there off of Chesterfield Road?
I mean, I don't have it here, but I can certainly provide that to you.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're the one signing off on the drawing, stamping it or whatever, we should have that turning radius the same as the other turning radius. That ladder truck in our town is going to have to get in there.
Yep.
That ladder truck is 60 feet, 50 feet long?
Again, I don't have that information here tonight because I wasn't prepared to talk about this entrance. That's not what I believe.
But you see what I'm saying is you want us to get all, in my opinion, get all your information and come back.
I mean,
I think it's a reasonable question. If you need the turning radius at the bottom, at the top, how come you don't need it at the bottom?
I don't believe I said you can't do the turn. I think you could with it, you know, with maybe making a three.
So what's going to happen?
I think you could do it there, but
you think, right? That you think you could do it, but I can tell you right now, I think I could drive the fire truck to your house, but your turning radius is a little small. I would rather be able to say to my client, yep, we fixed all that. Your house is, they can get the fire trucks in and everything else that way.
Okay.
But to sit there and say, I think, that's a huge liability on your end, as a, whoever the designer was.
It's a request that's not part of the site plan.
We are looking at the wetland side of it, but my concern is, you're going to be able to, you're saying, oh, can you give me grace on that? But you're still kicking, they got another problem there, too.
I'm not trying to debate, the access. That was just one comment that, you know, I think I was very clear that this was a mistake. They're asking for grace. They're asking, you know, to
I think for the, I think for the two, for the bridge, the width of the bridge and the others, if you'd come to us initially with it drawn the way it was built, it wouldn't be any problem.
Because the initial ones down at the driveway, they're in the 50-foot upland review. We didn't approve those either.
Let alone all the unpermitted fill that was put in.
And I think, wasn't there a question of the pipes at that crossing?
They're raised up instead of being buried like they were supposed to be.
That wasn't addressed.
That was what was the reason for having the walls on the side, because it was now raised up, making it a little bit more dangerous to drive across. Whereas if they had been buried at the proper...
Yeah, because you've got to have 2 feet of minimum cover over the HDPE pipe.
I think we let they had come to us initially. That's what I'm saying. They came to us initially with the curve the way it is and the bridge 15 feet wide with a stone wall. I don't think we would have had a problem. It's not, you know, having a road this wide versus a road this wide for the wetland is not... And it corrects problems. But the stone wall, I think we need to know if that's going to have to be moved again.
So are you asking on behalf of the engineering review or for...
Yeah, if the wall's in the upland review area, and then you're going to come back later and say, well, we got to move the wall again because it's not, the turning radius isn't right. I don't see.
But the engineering, the plan has been reviewed by the engineer, and there were no comments about turning radiuses. This is simply at this point trying to correct or seek correction or seek approval for these two areas. And the engineering review comments haven't had any comments about turning radiuses. I'm more than willing to do that, but I think we're not really seeking that here.
Right. We're a wetlands commission where we deal with the wetland issues. Yeah. P&Z and stuff has to deal with turning radius and so on. I remember when this plan was first presented, there was some concern about that segment turn.
Up here.
And I think that,
I mean, this is just a standard. These walls are roughly 20 feet apart. It's a very standard driveway. It's a very standard New England kind of driveway entrance, coming off of a major road or, you know, a rural road. But it's a typical 24 foot wide road. So I don't think there's too much concern. The issue here is about just getting up the, you know, getting through here and getting up the hill And again, it's not my primary argument. I'm not trying to say, I want to be clear, I'm not trying to say fire apparatus can't make it up here. I think they can. Okay? I'm not too concerned about that. It's just another reason and request as to the whole total rationale of what's going on. We're admitting this wasn't the intent. If this was the original intent, I would have shown it on the plan a year and a half ago. But it got constructed. You know, I wasn't part of the construction effort. I did the as-built. I did the plan. But I wasn't part of the laying it out or anything like that. When it got discovered, now we're trying to, in good faith, come to the commission. They say, hey, we know it's there. We've even put on the plan that we will remove it and correct it the way the soil scientist recommends, but we're just asking to be considered to remain.
Now, where and what are the unpermitted fill that he also brought up?
That's the stone that was put around the base of the wall, and that's going to be removed. That's already that's addressed here. We're not asking to keep that stone fill. That's I have it right here. Stone fill to be removed and reseeded based on the seeding mix down here. It's really this part that's got the fill that we're asking to remain, and the walls.
Stacy, is there another step for P&Z after this?
No. No. Nothing had to go, honestly, in front of planning and zoning because there was only the wetlands and it was a single-family residence, so it got approved through a zoning permit for construction.
Is this holding up a CO for the property so she can't move in?
Correct.
Okay.
But we give conditional approval on the condition they send us a letter saying the fire apparatus can make the turn. And go home and measure the angle. My issue is really is that whether the fire apparatus can get in there or out is not a wetlands issue. If the wall has to get moved further in the upland review area, that is a wetlands commission issue. I don't see that the wetlands commission can hold up an application based on the fact that the fire department can or can't. That's somebody else's department.
I'll go home and tomorrow morning get you, if you want to show the turning radiuses, I'd be happy to do it tomorrow morning. But I'm not trying to belabor that point. I don't think that's the strongest point in the argument. I never was trying to say that.
And it's not, it's not our department. Mm-hmm. Unless something is going to happen that causes that wall to be moved. Do we have any issues with the rest of it? Leaving it as is and letting them make the driveway wider.
I mean, I would just say, just to clarify, there would be no more additional excavation or working in the driveway. We would, you have enough room to move. It would essentially be put down a little bit of the aggregate, process aggregate, move the stone wall over 2 feet, and that's it. So it's not like it's a large, bring in a lot of equipment type of operation.
So you're going to extend the pipe?
No, the pipe actually is sufficient. You don't need to do any additional. I'm 99% certain of that. Yes, that is correct. Because I when I drew it on there, I checked that.
Be my biggest thing is so long as this time whatever gets done is the final of it and it's done the way it's being said it will be, and that we don't come back and find different things again, because what was presented to us, what was seen on the sidewalk and what was later shown is completely not completely different, but quite a bit different.
Well, the developer's right behind me. He just nodded in concurrence, and so. And you know, I mean, it, obviously, we don't. I'm sorry.
I really think that as far as the turning rate is, that should just, Stacy should refer that to whoever.
I can refer that to the fire department.
Just check on it.
So you can get me that turning radius, and I'll speak with him
about it. Yes, the Wetlands Commission has to stay in wetlands.
I said put it in.
I agree with your concern. I understand your concern.
So you could do a conditional approval based on him providing the turning radius and me getting approval and sign-off from the fire marshal.
I say providing a turning radius and saying that that wall will not have to be moved.
Right.
Yeah. The fire chief, not the fire marshal.
And if it helps,
I have to refer to town staff, so I have to refer to the fire marshal's office.
If it helps, I can do it. I could provide both the turning radius, and if in the event that it doesn't work, which I don't believe that's going to be the case, but if that is the case, I would also just provide an updated plan showing the removal of those walls.
You'd have to come back in for another modification, which...
Well, I mean, okay.
Well, if you had to move the wall, it'd be another modification, so... That's the...
Well, I mean, worst case scenario, I would show that we come in, and then I'd show, you know, that we remove those walls. Best case scenario, I send the turning movement, it's fine, and it's approved tonight with a contingency.
We do a conditional approval. Make motion, but I'll make this one. Is it okay with everybody?
Sure.
Yes.
We can move ahead. That was after giving due consideration of all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Monument and Wetlands and Watercourse Regulations, Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I'll move to approve application 26IW2-339 Chesterfield Road, 021-001-00A, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant Jill Moon Heron. Modification of application 24IC7 for the wetlands permit for regulated activities within the wetlands and upland review area to demo an existing single family residence and construct a new single family residence per the application and associated documents dated January 9, 2026, and a plan entitled Proposed Wetland Compliance Plan 339 Chesterfield Road, Oakdale, Connecticut, dated January 8, 2026, and revised March 4, 2026. Standard condition of approval apply. This is a conditional approval on the condition that the applicant provide the inland wetlands officer with the turning radius for the entrance to the site to be provided to the fire marshal.
Correct.
Fire chief.
Fire marshal.
I disagree.
I disagree too.
I can't refer it as town staff. I have to refer it to the town fire marshal's office.
And you can put a thing in there. He has to refer, well, concur with the fire chief before a decision's made. I don't see it in the state statute. Fire chief is the agent of this town.
Can you send a copy to the fire chief as well?
I can speak with the fire marshal and ask him to speak with the fire chief, but that will be up to him.
How about this? And that the applicant also provide a copy to the fire chief. Stacy doesn't have to worry about it. Right.
I'll second his motion.
Any discussion?
So it's it's a conditional approval on the condition that the applicant provide me the turning radius
at the entrance. Mm-hmm. And maybe also provide one to the fire chief.
The DOT standard turning radius.
DOT turning radius?
So an SU-35
so
vehicle?
DOT turning radius.
So an SU-35 is less than a 60-foot fire truck.
What's that?
An SU-35 is a less of a requirement than a 60-foot fire ladder truck.
If you're coming off the road, there should be a cut for that, a standard for the DOT on that.
Yes, this DOT standard is an SU-35.
So just provide us with a copy of that, please.
Then I can tell you right now you're fine. Well,
There's a motion on the floor. So no more discussion. Okay. We'll discuss the afterwards. Hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You opposed? Motion carries with one opposed.
Thank you.
New business, 26 IWC 3, 428 Fire Street, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant Mark DeRozier for regular activities to make repairs to a driveway in Wetlands and Upland Review Area. Boy, this sounds familiar.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer for the record. This application is for an after-the-fact permit for regulated activities in conjunction with repairs to the that the property owner made to an existing driveway due to flooding. This application was previously on your agenda but was withdrawn by the applicant because the time to render a decision had passed. The applicant withdrew application 25 IWC 25 and resubmitted on February 19th 2026. On February 20th 2026, the applicant submitted a new application and supporting documents. These documents were referred to the town soil scientists on February 25th, and comments were received back on March 3rd. The town soil scientist, Robert Russo, indicates in his comments that, quote, the materials submitted to date do not constitute an adequate mitigation plan or stream crossing design. A survey plan showing the wetland boundary, topography, and other relevant features needs to be prepared to serve as a base plan upon which the engineer and soil scientist can lay out the wetland restoration plan in full detail. Section 7 of the Montville Inland Wetland Commission regulations provides guidance as to what constitutes a complete application, end quote. On March 5th, 2026, the town soil scientist's comments were forwarded to the applicant and no response has been received to date. Mr. DeRozier is here. To speak to the commission.
Approve.
So do we have any of these plans?
He just came back out and he reflagged all the.
Just state your name and address because it's on record. It's being recorded.
The soil scientist came back out.
Just say your name.
Oh.
That's all.
Okay, Mark DeRozier, 428 Fire Street, thanks. Oakdale. The soil scientist came back out, and he reset the flags because the wind took a couple of them out. But they're reestablished. The boundaries said they might be able to get out there within the next 2 weeks. I talked to him the other day to... He's got a plan from the original wetlands with all of the elevations and the contours and the the delineation. So he said he could try to get out there within a couple of weeks. If not, I've got another engineer that can come out and do it mid-April, which is like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But the soil scientist had a specific question when he was there looking at the site for evaluation. He asked if he wanted to put back the sediment, which I don't think is a good idea. That's what we tried to get the sediment to stop clogging up the holes under the driveway. So I didn't have an answer for him, so I was wondering if you could tell me if that would be something you're looking for, put the sediment back.
We need to get something from your engineer and soil scientist to tell how to restore this. And we're not going to tell them.
The engineer submitted a plan for the two possible scenarios for the under the driveway, not on the top, on the surface, for overflow. He submitted one with a trench, and he submitted one with 3 6-inch pipes. Did you receive that, correct?
That's in your packet.
Yeah.
Everything that he supplied is in the packet.
Yeah, from January 13th. But what is he basing all his calcs on and everything?
His calculations, he did the calculations. I don't know how he does them, but he said it was 180 acres of land that flows through there with water, what he told me.
Are you talking this? Is this the plan?
Yeah, yep.
That's why
Bob Russo
indicated that the application is incomplete.
Yeah, there's no stamp on it either.
We need a plan.
That's what Boundaries is going to do.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to update the
and
one.
He's going to need to be here to answer our questions, and because he needs a plan. What we're going, he needs a plan of what's going to be done. A drawing of the site, and you know, those guys know what a plan is. This is just a sketch.
Well, that's what I had.
They need to tell us what needs to be done. The professionals need to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come back here again.
The gentleman that was just here, he had it all put on a plan and everything, like this, and how it was all going to be done. You can see the stamp and everything, State of Connecticut stamp and everything. So this is what we need.
Well, that's what Boundaries is going to do. They're going to come out and redo. They have the original, and they're going to put the new points of this area on the plan. They're going to update the plan because you need to update it every 5 years, I guess.
We need to have a plan of what's going to be done there.
Yeah,
so that's where we stand. Simple.
Well, I guess we'll see you next month.
Yeah, I did provide a couple of motions. I didn't know if the commission wanted to do another site walk, so I provided that motion in case you did. If not, there's a motion to continue to the next meeting in your packet as well.
I don't think a site walk is necessary, so if that's all right with everyone. Yeah. In that case, I'll go with the alternate. I make a motion to continue application number 26IWC3, 428 Fire Street, parcel ID 014-003-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant, Mark Desrosiers, for regulated activities within the wetlands and upland review area for repairs to an existing driveway due to flooding until the next regularly scheduled meeting on April 16th of 2026.
I'll second it.
Any
questions?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Roscoe made it. Commissioner Majewski seconded. Okay, 24IWC4, Butlertown Road. Oakdale, Connecticut, applicant Town of Montville for regular activities within the upland review area
a roadway improvement project.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. This application is for regulated activities within the upland review area in conjunction with a roadway improvement project for a portion of Butler Town Road from the Waterford town line in a northerly direction, approximately 2,000 feet into the town of Montville. The section of proposed work encompasses a portion of Butler Town Road consisting of single-family homes, industrial buildings, parking, and staging areas. The applicant indicates that the roadway is in poor structural condition and contains very narrow sections. Flat grades cause poor drainage and localized ponding. This project will utilize full-depth reclamation of existing asphalt roadway with localized widening to achieve a standard 22-foot cross-section. The applicant also states the longitudinal profile will be improved and cross slopes familiarized, and driveway aprons will be restored and shoulders regraded to promote positive drainage from the roadway. The applicant points out that the, quote, northern limits of the project, a small portion of improvements, 2,100 square feet, lie within the 50-foot upland review area of the inland wetland, end quote. The wetlands were delineated by Robert Russo, certified soil scientist of CLA, in 2024. The applicant states that, quote, a portion of Butler Town Road to be reconstructed has no drainage system. At the northern limit of the project, an unnamed watercourse crosses beneath the road via a 42 reinforced concrete pipe and eventually drains to Latimer Brook. The stream is located at a low point in the road profile and receives roadway runoff from the south and approximately 100 feet to the north. Runoff from the roadway drains to a low point, leaves the roadway, flows down the embankment and enters to the watercourse on both sides of the road. Over time, this will lead to erosion of the embankment and undermine the guardrail posts that currently protect traffic from the steep slope, end quote. The applicant proposes to install bituminous berm that will contain the channel and channel the runoff to a low point where two catch basins will be installed to collect the runoff and prevent the flow of stormwater over the embankment, end quote. The downstream catch basin will include a, quote, hydrodynamic separator to trap sediment and hydrocarbons that ordinarily would have entered the watercourse, end quote. The applicant then proposes vegetative swales where shoulder grading allows to receive runoff from the roadway. The intent of the swales is to capture and infiltrate runoff from smaller storm events that ordinarily would run off onto adjacent properties and been conveyed towards the watercourse. The applicant finally states that, quote, construction, stormwater, and erosion and sedimentation measures throughout the work area will be managed by implementing erosion control devices, including inlet sedimentation controls at new catch basin locations and silt fence and hay bales, provided and maintained down gradient of disturbed soils to delineate the limits of construction and protect the surrounding areas from sedimentation. Provisions for seeding and site stabilization after construction are also included in the plans, end quote. There was no referral for comments to a soil scientist on this, as it's a town project, and it's all the work's been reviewed by and approved by the town soil scientist. Kyle from CLA is here to speak on behalf of the applicant concerning the project.
Thank you, Stacey. You pretty much covered everything I need to talk about. For the record, Kyle Havert from CLA Engineers. We've been working closely with Public Works for the reconstruction of Butler Town Road for this last section to the Waterford Town Line. We started in 2024 working with Public Works. It was put on hold for a little bit, and now it's back around to hopefully be reconstructed this construction season. As Stacey had mentioned, the start of the project, as I have shown here on the plan, It's about 1,500 feet south of the Sagittello Industrial Drive intersection. It's basically the low point of Butlertown Road, and there's a 42-inch concrete culvert that crosses the road right there that conveys an unnamed brook under Butlertown Road. The road will then continue. It's about 2,000 feet where it will end at the Waterford Town line. The town had done some work on the section between Sagittello and this area, so that road had been reconstructed previously. And also Waterford had reconstructed their side of the road. I believe 2 or 3 years ago they reconstructed their side of the road. So this infills the gap between those two areas. The road has deteriorated primarily from age. Talking with John Carlson at Public Works, he can't recall when that road was ever repaved or redone through this section. So it is substantially aged. It does have some flat areas as well that doesn't shed water well, so the potholes have shown up, and some of the surface has deteriorated. And also, over time, this section of road has seen more and more industrial and heavy traffic than it had previously because of the industrial development that's kind of grown up around it. So there is heavier traffic using the road now, so it has become pretty beat up from what it previously was. Again, Bob Russo from our office and Kyle Lynch from our office both flagged the wetlands for the project area. The only wetlands on the project are at that 42-inch crossing right there at the inlet and outlet side. There's no other wetlands anywhere else on the project. There's no stormwater drainage system on the road. Everything either sheet flows off the road or is collected in gutter flow and then discharged at the low point right here. It's currently uncontrolled flow and just leaks off into the stream now down the embankments. As part of the project and working with Public Works, we did try and incorporate some low-impact development measures for the new roadway. So the road will be ground up and reprofiled to provide some better drainage on the road and allow the stormwater to flow off the road. Where the shoulder width's allowed, we did provide some grass swales to try and collect the runoff and cleanse it. We've also provided some low detention areas, some shallow pools to try and capture that first flush and trap some of the sediments and cleanse some of the stormwater before it flows beyond the town right away. And then finally, the one thing we did look at is at the low point here at that brook crossing, we are proposing two catch basins in that area to capture the runoff and collect it in that area. We'll then send it through a hydrodynamic separator that meets the stormwater quality guidelines for cleansing the water before it's discharged back into that 42-inch culvert. We did explore potentially creating a new discharge from that hydrodynamic separator straight into the stream or into the embankment. But in review of those embankments, they're heavily vegetated, they're stable. We did look at the outlet side of the 42-inch culvert. That's discharging into a rocky stream that is in very good condition and very stable. So we didn't want to take the risk of destabilizing that embankment or doing any additional measures. We didn't want to create a problem that doesn't exist now. So what we'll do is we'll tie directly into the 42-inch culvert. We'll core into it. It'll be a short run of about 8 feet of pipe between the catch basin and the culvert. So we'll have a good location. Public Works will know where it's tied in. They'll be aware of where the location is, and they'll have the map of the tie-in, too. And that way, we're not disturbing the embankment or disturbing the stream in any way. During construction, we will have inlet sediment control sacks in the catch basin tops. We've also provided a silt fence along the right-of-way to protect the stream from any potential sediment during construction. With that, if there's any
questions. So where is the hydrodynamic separator? Is it underneath the catch basin or part of it?
Correct. The style hydrodynamic separator that we have allows a catch basin in on top of the structure. So it'll just be a single structure with a catch basin top and then the separator, you know, integrated into that.
So those separators, how often do you got to clean them out?
They would have to be cleaned out yearly. They will be part of the town's MS4 regular cleaning. And they're cleaned with a conventional vac truck.
Right. So every area will be cleaned out, because if you don't, it's going to become useless.
Correct, yes. They are very good at trapping sediment, so it does have to be cleaned out. Otherwise, it does start to bypass. Yep. And we've been discussing with John Carlson at Public Works. They, the maintenance of the whole system and the
right, yeah. Just like the rest of them in the town. Still got to be clean.
Is it currently flagged?
Wetland flagged?
Are there flags out there where it's going to be done?
Yes. Yes. Bob Russo and Kyle Lynch both flagged that. I believe it was done August
2024. Oh. I was wondering, do we want to...
Are the flags still there? August 24th?
Generally, most
with
of
all the snow
be there. Yeah.
To get an idea of the area, do we need to do a walk, just do a drive?
The culvert is clearly located where it is. Yeah. I mean, that's...
You can clearly see it.
You can see exactly where that culvert and that crossing is.
Yeah. Is it okay to do just a drive-by?
I'll do a drive-by. That's fine with me. It's not that far out of the way or anything.
Come home that way.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. In lieu of a sidewalk, I'll make the other motion. I make a motion to continue application number 26IWC4, Butlertown Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner, applicant, Town of Montville, for regulated activities within the upland review area in conjunction with the roadway improvement project until the next regularly scheduled meeting on April 16th, 2026.
I second that.
Yeah. All right, thanks. I wasn't sure. Yeah. All right, any discussion? Okay. Commissioner Rosto made a motion. Commissioner Lucci seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Here's the answer. Okay, 26, item C5. Right? Yeah. 2268 to 2284 Route 32, Uncasville, owner applicant NNI Horizon ULLC for a modification of a previously approved application. 24 IWC9 for development of three parcels for 57-unit multifamily housing.
Stacey Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. In the wetland permit was approved by this commission on November 21st, 2024. A copy of the permit's attached to your packet, and I have a copy of the approved plan here. It was 28 pages long, so I didn't want to print the whole thing, but I definitely have it if anyone wants to see it. On March 10th, 2026, I received a copy of an update to the approved plan, specifically sheet C2 grading and drainage plan received by the WPCA concerning a change to the proposed water and sewer connection on site. In review of the provided sheet, it was determined that there were changes proposed that should be brought to this commission for request for a modification. Staff was in contact with the applicant, and on March 13, 2026, an application for modification, a narrative in sheet C2 grading and drainage plan dated September 25, 2024, revised March 13, 2026, was submitted. The applicant states that there were some revisions to the approved plans for various reasons and specifically sets them out in the narrative dated March 13, 2026. The applicant states that the, quote, modifications are minor in nature and have no impacts to the previously approved paved area and or disturbance area within the upland review area. The application and supporting documents were forwarded to Robert Russo, certified soil scientist of CLA, on March 16, 2026. Comments were received and provided to the applicant. A copy of those are in your packet. On March 17, 2026, the applicant provided a revised narrative pursuant to the town soil scientist's comments to include, quote, please note that the above modifications have no change to the previously approved square footage of wetland or upland review areas being impacted, end quote. This revised narrative was forwarded to the town soil scientist for his review, and he indicated that all previous comments had been addressed and there were no further comments. And we do have Bill Sweeney here on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Stacy. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record tonight, my name is Bill Sweeney. I'm a land use attorney and a partner at the law firm of Tobin Carberry. Down in New London, and it's, as always, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm joined tonight by Roy the name all of a sudden. Easiest name in the world. Roy Smith from RJ O'Connell Associates. Roy is the project engineer. He was here in the original approval. He's here tonight just to very quickly give you an overview of the changes to the plan. I also have Steve Caprio. Steve is a representative of NNI Horizon View LLC, which is an affiliate of Honeycomb Real Estate Partners, which is the party that got the original wetland permit for this project last year. As you know, if you've been out to Route 32, if you've been out to the site, you know that construction has started and is progressing successfully on the Horizon View project. This is an exciting multifamily project. It's gotten a lot of positive press, a lot of support from the town of Montville. It's been sort of a showcase project here in southeastern Connecticut for what modern affordable housing should look like, and we're really excited about it. As with any construction project, as you actually get out into the field and you make decisions in the field, there are minor tweaks that happen. And as Stacy said, we had some minor tweaks along the northern property line, specifically with the addition of a transformer to the site. There was some suggestions made by our contractors and engineers on tweaks that we could make to the plan that better protect that transformer going forward. We shared those changes with Stacy and with Meredith, and in an effort to be fully transparent, it was suggested that we file a formal application with the commission to let you know about those changes and to let you have a chance to review them. Very important, and I think Stacy said it in her staff report, and I want to repeat it, and I know that Roy's going to repeat it as well tonight. There is no change whatsoever to our impact to any wetland area. As those of you who are on the commission during the original approval, there's just a small pocket of wetlands along the northern property line. It is basically a plunge pool at the end of a drainage ditch that leads from the city drainage, cuts through some properties, and just dumps onto this property and then melts away. But we protected that wetland. We have a permit to work in it and around it to allow for this project. We're not making any changes to the overall disturbance, and we're not making any changes to the overall amount of disturbance in the upland review area either. In many towns that I work in, an application like this would be handled on an administrative fashion, just with the wetland agent. But again, in an effort to be fully transparent, we made a formal application to you tonight. As Stacy also indicated, the town engineer and the town wetland scientist have reviewed the plans, reviewed the change, confirmed that there are no issues with them and no additional impacts. I'm going to have Roy come up and just walk you through the project and those changes specifically. But Mr. Chairman, if you would indulge me, I would like, before you take any action tonight, I would like to talk to you about what I believe the commission's legal authority is and how they can handle an application like this. I'd like the opportunity to talk after Roy makes that presentation. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, if you could. Good evening. Once again, my name is Roy Smith. I work for RJ O'Connell and Associates. We are the site civil engineers on the project. And as Bill was mentioning, during the course of construction, we've come across some construction-related items that need to be addressed. I have copies of a nice plan that basically a colored version of the submitted plan, the black and white version. So if you go to the second sheet, as Bill was mentioning, along the northern property line is where we have the existing wetlands, in which we've received approval for both temporary and permanent disturbance. As Bill was mentioning, those areas are unchanged from the approved application based on this modification. So if you look at the center of the northern property line, you see the light green area there. That's the wetland system. We are putting in a retaining wall there that will act like a head wall. And then there's an 18-inch drainage pipe that goes to a drain manhole. That drain manhole and that 18-inch pipe coming out of that head wall or retaining wall is part of the original approval. The modification is coming out of that manhole, which is in the proposed paved area, we're proposing an 8-inch underdrain to handle the 2-to-1 slope. We in the corner where you see the square T, that's the transformer pad there. So what we've done is we've extended this 8-inch, and we've included a perforated underdrain 8-inch pipe with a catch basin at that corner to protect that electrical transformer. And that's basically the change in the nutshell. I can go over the other changes that occurred throughout the site, but that's the wetlands version of this. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And once again, the blow-up colored plan, the 8.5 by 11, kind of shows it in greater detail. So the small, that manhole, and then the small pipe says 8-inch HDP pipe extension to the catch basin. That's the modification within the privy of this Wetlands Commission. And once again, the temporary disturbed, the permanently disturbed, and the disturbed within the upland review area stayed the same as previously approved by this commission.
This is a bit of an eye chart for me, but where is the transformer pad?
Oh, sorry. It's tough to see, but it's in the corner. There. Yeah.
I showed him. It's like, it's this big.
Yeah, it says T.
It's the T.
Yeah, it says the T in the middle of the gray area.
Right.
And right in front of that, we are installing a new
water
catch
away
basin.
From it.
Got
like
it.
That drainage. So outside,
is that like
it's outside
underground transformer?
Yeah, well, it has sweeps into the transformer vault. Pad, but it's the transformer pad.
That's where they're putting the drain in. And everything else looks like a change in the inverts on everything else.
Yeah,
so.
Some brims, some inverts. We've added some spot grades from construction perspective and stuff like that. But when they dug that's a cut slope along that side of the property line, we've developed and we see some drainage issues. That's why we put in the under drain and extended that pipe.
And that shouldn't cause any changes in the flows or whatever?
No. It's only draining out that transformer pad.
Mr. Chairman, I want to say, just for the record, I have great respect for this commission and the procedures that this commission takes handling applications. If you would indulge me, though, my client has asked me to ask the commission to consider a process tonight to handle this application that may allow him to proceed without any delay in construction. We would prefer not to come back in April and wait till April to get your formal blessing of this modification. It's interesting, if you read your regulations, unlike some other communities' wetlands regulations, you don't use the word modification anywhere within the regulation. Many towns have an actual regulation or provisions on how an applicant can modify an existing permit. And if you look at the statutes that regulate wetlands commissions, they don't really talk about that either. Particularly the issue when you have a modification that doesn't change the impact of the actual original permit. There is a book that we lawyers turn to a lot. It's from the Connecticut Practice Series. It's called Connecticut Land Use Law and Practice. This just came out, the new 2026 edition just came out this week. I just got this. It's written by an attorney named Dwight Merriam, who's a very famous attorney here in Connecticut, works at Robinson & Cole. He's sort of one of the grandfathers of land use law. He actually has a section in his legal treaties on this particular issue. And if you would indulge me, I'd just like to read it to you, because I think it might give you some perspective. Minor changes in a regulated activities permit would not require a new application, but should be placed on the agenda of the Inland Wetlands Agency for its review and approval unless the regulations allow the modifications to be made by the conservation officer or your Inland Wetlands officer. And I would suggest to you that because we are not changing the nature of the impact to wetlands or the upland review area, you have the legal authority tonight to give us blessing to make this change, because it is not outside of the confines, the four squares or four corners of the original approval. I would also suggest, we did submit a new application to you. We did that at the request of staff in the event that you wanted to process it as a new application. Again, most towns that I work in would handle this either administratively or through a wetland agent approval. And you certainly have that as a possibility. Your wetland regulations do authorize you, upon your approval, to give the wetland agent the right to approve minor activities in the upland review area. I think this would apply here as well. If you are willing to authorize Ms. Radford to issue a wetlands approval, we would then publish it by statute, which is a statutory process, and that would allow us to continue construction without any interruption in this part of the site. Another opportunity you might have would be to approve the change tonight and then basically say, if you get a public petition in the next 15 days, then if they appeal for a hearing, we have to come back in April. And then finally, I want to repeat my great respect for the commission and your procedures. If you're not comfortable with any of these options and you want us to wait and come back in April, this commission has been so supportive of this project, has really been helpful. Your staff has been great. If that's your decision, we will accept that as well. But Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to lay out those options for you tonight, and certainly we will defer to your wishes. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'll say that in the past, we've had plenty of minor modifications get approved when we've seen them. I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't see any reason this can't. It's a minor modification. We've had modifications that were much larger.
Sure.
Which is why we like to see them.
And I think if we were increasing the amount of wetland impact, or increasing the amount of impact in the upland review area, in my opinion, that should either be given to the agent to approve, or it needs to go through a full wetland process. But when you're not changing those two things, and effectively what we're doing is work under a paved driveway that's already approved, I think you have the ability to say, that's within the auspices of the permit. Thank you for sharing it with us. We approve it. We don't have a problem.
I agree. It's not, the minor things shouldn't hold major projects up. There have been instances in the past when that hasn't been the case, and I appreciate you coming in instead of acting surprised after the fact. Mm-hmm. and you guys are okay with that?
Agree.
Then is there an approval motion in here?
There wasn't, because I just was under the assumption that we would have to wait the 15 days, but
yeah, from modification, I don't believe you have to wait the 15 days. I'm pretty sure you do not.
I think Dwight Merriam would agree with you on that. A simple modification, you could.
And I think the two-week petition thing was also nixed by the court at one point. But
yeah, and that's only for an actual application. But if you deem this to be a simple modification of the existing permit with no change, I think you can act tonight on motion to instruct the wetland officer that this is within the approval of the original permit. Thank you for sharing it with us. We confirm that it is.
Yeah, I think we just accept the modification. Mm. Nobody has a problem with that, right?
No. Being
change.
Forward with the transparency was nice. I make a motion that we approve the modification.
Second.
And,
somebody.
It's a piece of paper, but it's the darn permit number.
Ah, gotcha.
That's the permit. That's the modification to permit 24-C9. Any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you for your time tonight. Hope you get home at a reasonable time.
No correspondence. New discussion of IWC fee schedule. Have you come up with a new version of the schedule? I confess, I completely forgot about it.
So I didn't come up with specific suggestions on the fee schedule. I did send out an email on February 9th, and I did copy it in your packet. Specifically, one of the main suggestions that our office is looking for would be the cost being back on to the applicant the actual cost for any public hearing notices. That's really where we're finding the cost going way overboard. Typically, if there's more than two referrals out to the town soil scientists, we get a bill, and per the regulations, it gets put back onto the applicant at that time. But as far as the public hearing, the actual cost of the public hearing notices have been ranging anywhere from $250 and up recently. And we do, by statutory requirements, have to publish in the newspaper. So to cover that cost, we are suggesting across the board that all of our commissions look at least making that change to the fee schedule.
Well, I agree. And if you know about what it is, kind of hit that in the ballpark. You know, if it's $250, say you add public hearing, is $250.
Typically,
now, is that every time, every time, right? So if it goes on for 3 months?
Yeah, every time we have to put it in the newspaper. If we have to advertise in the newspaper, is what we're looking for the applicant to actually pay the actual cost. Whatever the date charges us, we give them prior to the commission actually giving the person the permit.
So that's just the initial. There's not a recurring at that point.
Correct.
A monthly or anything like that, okay?
That would be terrible. It should be on there. That's not.
And the process with the fee schedule is that the director of land use will take that, your suggestion, to TARP, and the TARP commission will take a look at it, and they'll provide a recommendation to the town council at that point.
Right.
So if the only real recommendation is to charge the actual cost of the public hearing notices, any notices that have to get published in the newspaper, and that be an actual cost, then I can let the director know that, and he can move forward with the fee schedule.
Well, the other one is making sure that when, you know, like we have to have, it was a violation, we wind up sending people off four and five times, that the violator needs to pay those too, you know, for the soil scientists and stuff.
Right. Which is covered by that ordinance, as has happened to one of the other applicants that was on your agenda that we're carrying forward. He had to pay all of the back fees for, and he has paid those. If you recall, that was a discussion.
Yeah.
And he has paid those. So
good.
That's part of already the ordinance. So making that part of our fee schedule, we don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I strongly suggest with the public hearing that we actually, the fee for a public hearing is $450. But with that goes all the costs for having the initial referral to the soil scientist, multiple referrals. It just helps the town recoup some money when the applicant pays the fee for.
Yeah, so that gets up to like $1,000 for the fee.
Yeah.
And it only affects the applicant, not the general population. So if you need it, you should pay the fees that are associated with what you want to do.
Correct.
Is there anything else that you wanted to change or up to actually reflect today?
I think that we are somewhat comparable to some other towns. Some of these numbers are a little higher, much higher. East Lyme does charge quite a bit more. But I think that we're pretty comparable to most of the other towns in the area for what we actually see for applications. Some of the other towns see a lot more because they are they have more wetland areas than what we have.
Yeah.
So that was strictly my opinion, though.
These limes essentially a swamp.
They're trying to prevent them.
So if that's your only recommendation, I can certainly send that off to the director and
actually
move forward with that.
That helps the wetlands out anyways. If there's a cost for damaging them, you know, kind of a deterrent naturally.
So that's all I have with that. unless anyone has anything else that they'd like to address with that fee schedule.
And the commission would have the ability to waive that.
I'm sorry?
And the commission would have the ability to waive that.
Yes. You do have that in your regulations. Yeah. Yes.
No, I was just thinking that sometimes you could wind up with a public hearing, you know, when it gets forced on you, that really, you know, might be in the public's interest, for example.
Well, for instance,
like, say somebody wanted to do some work around the town swimming hole or something.
Yeah, you don't want to beat somebody up for trying to be a good, you know.
Which got filled in by a non-permitted person. All right, anything else? One more motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Correspondence or anything. Not bad.
No executive session. So I wonder if there's no executive session.